Measure 91 means regulating and legalizing marijuana for adults, freeing up time and generating revenue so police can better protect us from serious, violent, and unsolved crimes. The system needs changing. Yes on 91. It's about time.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Yeah! Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, October 15th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it's got to be 20 days away before we re-legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon, re-legalize marijuana in Washington, D.C., we re-legalize marijuana in Alaska, and we begin medical marijuana in Florida and Guam. We'll be bringing you all the coverage of marijuana election night 2014, November 4th. It's a Tuesday, and we will be here from 6 p.m. Eastern until the final polls close and we get the results all the way out in Guam. So we will be up all night. We will have live coverage and reporters at every state and city where they are considering marijuana reform or drug war reform, and we'll be bringing you the results first. This will be where you will find out first from the campaign headquarters whether or not these reforms have passed. So join us on Tuesday, November 4th for Marijuana Election Night right here on 420radio.org. Today's been quite a fun day for me. I took the bus downtown and was on X-Ray FM. That's KXRY FM 107.1 here in Portland, Oregon. I was on Thank You Democracy with Jefferson Smith discussing Measure 91 for the entire hour. However, I was bookended. The first 20 minutes was Josh Marquis, the Clatsop County District Attorney, who's the spokesperson for No on 91, and whom I have filed open records requests against. And then I was followed by Kevin Sabet from Project Sam. So I didn't get to hear Kevin, but I did get to hear Josh, and he seems really upset that we filed open records requests against him. What you got against transparency, Josh? Anyway, you'll get to hear my interview on X-Ray FM with Jefferson Smith, a really good discussion. We'll play it at the end of the show today. Also on the show today, we've got some more ads added in that you'll notice. So we've been playing a lot of the Measure 91 ads, but today we've got some ads from Florida for their Amendment 2 and for Alaska for their Question 2. So you'll get to see those in between our segments today. Also on the show today, we have got a new remix. You remember Afro Man? Remember the 2001 hit Because I Got High? Well, there is a new remix of this that has been sponsored by Normal and Weed Maps that's called the Positive Remix on Because I Got High, and it finally makes me like this song. We'll play that in our Behind the Headlines segment right after the 420 news. Also today, at half past, we got a chance to get into some more cannabis cinema. Yesterday, we spoke with Adam Scorgi from the Culture High. Today, we've got part two of the Marijuana in Oregon Green Rush documentary that I'm featured in. We'll play that part two for you in cannabis cinema toward the middle of the hour. Also on the show today, we have got our 420 radio news, and in the news today, more stunning allegations about Oregon's First Lady and an illegal marijuana grow. Governor Gary Johnson, the former Libertarian candidate for president and New Mexico governor, says pot could cure Ebola. The House of Representatives has passed the No Welfare for Weed Act. The Portland, Oregon City Council is trying to get in on the marijuana tax business, and San Diego finally has a legal dispensary, or should have a legal dispensary after 18 years of medical marijuana being legal in California. San Diego may get its first legal dispensary. We'll tell you all about that in the 420 Radio News coming up next. And don't forget, we're still taking donations at GoFundMe.com/FightSabet. I've bumped the number up. We're going to try to raise another 20 grand to hire the lawyers, researchers, and legal team necessary to hold these people to account for misusing our public funds to try to defeat Measure 91. We could use your help. GoFundMe.com/FightSabet. We're back with the news right after this. We'll be right back.
to the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
I don't care for marijuana, but I do care about my family and their future. The system's not working now, so I think I'm voting yes on 91. Now, one small mistake getting caught with a little marijuana can ruin a life. A record, can't get loans, jobs, or credit, that's wrong. Measure 91 will regulate marijuana and generate tax revenue dedicated to police and schools, and let police protect us from serious crimes. Yes on 91 is a better approach.
Marijuana Compassion and Common Sense, replaying Tuesdays at 10 Pacific on...
In all my years on the streets, it's hard to recall a single time where marijuana use itself was the cause of a violent incident. As a police officer, I do believe that passing ballot measure 2 will allow law enforcement to focus on serious issues in Alaska. To me, the regulation of marijuana means safer communities. I'm voting yes on 2.
This communication was paid for by the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. Top contributors are Marijuana Policy Project, Drug Policy Alliance, and Thomas...
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Less than a week after admitting she illegally married an Ethiopian immigrant in 1997, Oregon's First Lady confessed to planning an illegal marijuana operation with another man that same year. Cynthia Hayes, the fiancée of Governor John Kitzhaber, said she was living on the property with her then-boyfriend in Okanagan, Washington, near the border of Canada, for the purpose of growing and selling marijuana. Patrick Simon was the real estate broker who sold Hayes and her then-boyfriend, Carl Topinka, the cabin and a 60 to 70-acre plot in rural Washington. According to Simon, Hayes told him she wanted to get back to nature. Simon said Hayes, not Topinka, was the leader of the operation. He said, quote, "The idea that she was an unwitting or unwilling participant in my eyes is totally erroneous. She did a lot of the talking, is all I can say." The one-time presidential candidate who is now in the medical marijuana business said pot could be the answer for Ebola. Former Governor Gary Johnson first made comments about marijuana and Ebola on the Fox Business Network on Monday. Quote, "We actually believe we have efficacy with regard to treating Ebola," end quote, Johnson said before the anchor stopped him. Potentially, but Johnson said Johnson told KRQE on the phone Tuesday he is not saying it is the cure. Quote, "No one is making this claim," he said. "There are those that would love to have the opportunity to provide this as potentially a game changer," end quote. He said he is critical of the current system for making it difficult to try out possible alternatives like marijuana, but that he is not trying to mislead anyone about its potential. The House passed a bill Tuesday that could make it a little harder for people to use government welfare payments to buy marijuana in states where the drug is legal. Supporters call it the No Welfare for Weed bill. The bill would prevent people from using government-issued welfare debit cards to make purchases at stores that sell marijuana. It would also prohibit people from using the cards to withdraw cash from ATMs in those stores. The reach of the bill would be limited because pot smokers could still use their benefit cards to get cash from an ATM at a different store or bank and then use the money to buy marijuana. With Congress in a rush to get home to campaign, a Senate version is unlikely, and the bill will probably not reach the president's desk this year. The Portland, Oregon City Council unanimously agreed to discard a proposed 5% tax on medical marijuana while moving forward with a 10% proposal on recreational marijuana. On Wednesday, the City Council will discuss the proposed 10% tax on recreational pot, which could generate between $1.7 and $4 million annually in new revenue. That estimate is intentionally conservative and based on revenue and sales forecasts generated by state officials. City Council members will continue a discussion started last week during a two-hour work session on whether Portland should join 17 other Oregon cities in preemptively taxing marijuana. According to city documents, legal recreational marijuana is an, quote, "if not when," quote, type situation in Portland.
Measure supporters say cities are jumping the gun by enacting additional taxes, a tactic they hope would allow the taxes to be grandfathered in. Measure 91's ballot language explicitly forbids new taxes after the measure is approved and invalidates any existing county or city measures that are inconsistent with it, making the hope for grandfathering in local taxes a pipe dream. I'm sorry, we're having some difficulties here on the computer system. There we go. A group hoping to open San Diego's first legal marijuana dispensary got a key approval Wednesday morning that could allow the proposed pot shop to open in Otay Mesa before the end of the year. A city hearing officer declared that a green alternative satisfies all the complex conditions included in a controversial city ordinance approved last winter. Barring a possible appeal that would require a planning commission hearing next month, a green alternative will be the first legal dispensary to operate in the city since California voters approved the use of medical marijuana 18 years ago. A county-approved dispensary opened just outside El Cajon in late July. It's the only legal dispensary operating in San Diego County, but more than 100 illegal pot shops continue to operate while authorities try to shut them down. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420.
The doctor has the right to prescribe OxyContin or any type of prescription like that. They should have the right to recommend medical cannabis for that same patient.
In the 1980s, my mother asked me to help a friend of hers who was terribly nauseous and vomiting every single day from her treatment, and my mother begged me, as since I was a young adult, could I find marijuana for this woman. And it was it's a crime that even all these many years later, we still have to illegally get this treatment that really makes a difference for people.
The real concept is Amendment 2 would allow for medical decisions to be made by doctors instead of politicians.
We're asking you to please vote yes on Amendment 2, November 4th, because there are patients that need medication in this state, and they deserve it.
I am.
United for Care.
Mike Schwab is a former middle school science and math teacher. Currently, he works with children daily as an after-school program leader.
Currently, kids have easy access to marijuana with little understanding of its impact. We can take better care of our kids through Measure 91 with strict regulations and funding for proven marijuana education and prevention programs to keep kids from using it. Under our current marijuana laws, one mistake can ruin a life. Measure 91 removes unfairly harsh punishment for marijuana offenses and gets more tax money to local police and drug prevention. Vote yes on 91.
Welcome back, everyone. 13 and a half after the hour. And today in Behind the Headlines, I'm going to take a look back to 2001. And if you'll remember back then, there was a little song that came out by a unknown rapper by the name of Afro Man. And the song was called Because I Get High. A simple little ditty he recorded by himself playing all the instruments, just kind of on a lark. And the song got included in a movie soundtrack and then just became a viral hit. Even before we used to call things viral, everybody was singing Because I Got High. And partially because it's just kind of a cute little ditty. And those of us in the cannabis community could kind of identify with some of the tongue-in-cheek humor. But unfortunately, our opponents and people that aren't very aware of marijuana and the issues around it took it to be not so tongue-in-cheek. They actually think that marijuana users are like that and can't accomplish things because they got high. Ever since then, this song has kind of been like fingernails on the blackboard to me whenever I hear it, because I feel it does a disservice to our community by misrepresenting and somewhat exacerbating the stereotypes about marijuana consumers. As I went on the air with Jefferson Smith today at X-Ray FM, they played Afro Man's Because I Got High before I came on, right? I don't think they played I Shot the Sheriff before Josh Marquis came on, or Henry Rollins' Liar before Kevin Sabet came on. But for some reason, the person representing marijuana reform has to be brought onto the show with something funny, something that denigrates, something that makes light of our position. So I'm really excited to have gotten this latest email from my friends out at Normal and Weed Maps TV, where they have partnered together with Afro Man to re-record Because I Got High and produce a new video for it that is called The Positive Remix of Because I Got High. And folks, I got to tell you, this has finally made it so I can actually enjoy this song. We got it for you right now, exclusively here at 420radio.org and the Russ Belville Show. First time it's been played on the network. I hope you enjoy it. It's Afro Man with Weed Maps TV and Normal.org helping produce the new positive remix of Because I Got High. Enjoy.
Ironically, I care about everything. Hand me that vaporizer.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. La da 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 da.
Yes.
La da da.
Glaucoma, but then I got high. Smelled the cannabis aroma, and I got high. Glaucoma's getting better, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high.
Baby.
Because I got high.
Yeah.
Because I got high.
La, 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 da, da.
I used to smoke cigarettes, but then I got high. Get tired and call it quits, but then I got high. I'm playing basketball and jogging, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah,
hey,
cause I got high.
Baby.
Because I got high.
Yeah.
Because I got high.
La, 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 da, da.
I used to drink beer and wine, but then I got high. I woke up feeling fine, cause I got high. Hangover's over, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high.
Because I got high.
Because I got high.
La la da da da.
Anxiety attacks, but then I got high.
Ooh.
I used to take Xanax, but then I got high. No more prescription pills, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high.
Because I got high.
Because I got high.
La, 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 da, da.
The state made revenue because I got high. They built a school or two because I got high. Now the state can fund drug treatment, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high.
Because I got high.
Because I got high. Criminal traps if it's legalized. I don't have to buy from gangbangers shooting craps if it's legalized. I can navigate with weed maps and I know
why.
Yeah, it's legalized. It's legalized. It's legalized. La da da. I want to say what's up to the entire staff at Normal, all the secretaries, all the lawyers, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. I want to say what's up to Weed Maps. Thanks for putting me on. Y'all go get one of them Weed Map apps. Navigate to a dispensary anywhere in the world.
Well, excuse me!
Hey folks, it's 420 in Denver, Colorado. Great video there from Weed Maps, Normal, and Afro Man. Thanks for their support for Oregon, Florida, Alaska, Washington, D.C. They forgot Guam, but I haven't. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got that part two of Marijuana in Oregon, The Green Rush, right after the break.
Cannabis.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. Cannabis Network Radio with David Kowalski from Tampa, Florida. Replaying Wednesdays at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. As marijuana moves into the mainstream, more filmmakers are taking a look at all aspects of cannabis culture. These days, marijuana movies are about more than hiding from Sergeant Stadenko or trying to get to White Castle for the munchies. Join with us as we explore the latest in the cannabis cinema.
Here we go with part two of Marijuana in Oregon.
Growers need a voice. We can't just sit back and let people just figure out how this is going to be. You know, the growers, who the people who are in charge of creating this medicine for patients and then the future recreational market, should have one of the strongest voices, in my opinion, in how things are going to be done, because they understand the plant.
Many people in the current marijuana industry have mixed feelings about the free market approach of Measure 91. We talked to a few noteworthy Oregon marijuana business people. First up was Sam Chapman, a prominent marijuana entrepreneur who is the founder and advisor of New Economy Consulting.
I think that the future of the cannabis industry in Oregon is bright. I really think that there's a lot of ideals here in the Pacific Northwest in general that are going to be injected into the branding of cannabis here in Oregon. I am all about a free market approach when it comes to, you're given the chance, there's a low barrier to entry, anyone can try it. You know, you can have your millionaire come in and lose all of his money and totally screw it up because he picked the wrong business partner, or the mom and pop that comes in that totally puts their entire family as, you know, the aspect of why they do what they do and just blow it out of the water, right? That's the beauty about a free market model and legalization, is that everybody gets to play.
We also spoke to Amy Margolis, Oregon's leading marijuana lawyer.
I think Oregon has been a state for a long time that has valued small-scale production. So I think there's some fear from people in the industry, and I think some people view that as a real opportunity to grow a business from something they've been really dedicated to for a long time. So I think for Oregon, vertical integration means the opportunity to build something big and great if recreational passes, and at the same time, a potential loss for people who have been operating on a small scale and maybe want to keep operating that way.
The battle between fake weed and small-scale businesses will not end anytime soon. One thing is for sure, until legalization happens, we don't know who will dominate the market in both Oregon and nationwide. Regardless of the size of marijuana businesses, everyone is dealing with the same issue of filing federal taxes. The issue is due to a federal provision titled 280E.
280E exists because some coke dealer in Florida in 1970s decided that he was going to try and write off his yacht with all of his coke money. And then the federal government was like, oh shit, we should probably make a law to not make that legal. Even if it's an illegal drug, you're supposed to report your taxes on that, like, by law. But if you don't, you break the law, right? So, I mean, that's the conundrum with taxes until we fix it at the federal level.
What did help federally was a memo that was issued in 2013 by United States Deputy Attorney General James M. Cole, known as the Cole Memo.
We agree it is an issue that we need to deal with.
You know, the federal memo that came out when Washington, Colorado legalized marijuana said that, look, so long as you follow these 8 guidelines, which are basically don't sell to kids, don't go across state lines, don't mix it with guns, right, and a couple of other things, we're not coming after you.
It would be a very challenging lawsuit to bring to preempt the state's decriminalization law. We might have an easier time with their regulatory scheme in preemption, but then what you'd have is legalized marijuana and no enforcement mechanism within the state to try and regulate it. And that's probably not a good situation to have.
Kind of an incentive for a black market, isn't it?
Very much so, sir. And money going into organized criminal enterprises instead of going into state tax coffers and having the state regulate from a seed-to-sale basis, what happens to it?
It'd be basically everything the state voted for you'd be trying to overturn.
For the first time, the state of Oregon and all of its residents finally had some tacit protection from federal raids. You know, we'd seen a lot of raids in Southern Oregon, things of that nature, and so it's good to finally be past that part. All of the raids are over.
The Cole memo could change with a different White House administration. In the meantime, growers and businesses who follow state laws are safe. However, there is still a large amount of underground growers who exist in Oregon. Many of these growers live outside of the Portland metropolitan area and are more commonly found in Southern Oregon.
Oregon ships, I don't think it's a secret, vast quantities of cannabis across the United States. I don't think there's any question that that's happening. I think it's happening because there's no legal market and people could stay here and not be afraid of getting arrested. I think that all that cannabis would stay here, at least as much as the market can absorb. And so I think my perspective is that legalization will end at least a good portion of that black market.
A mixture of growers in Southern Oregon that, you know, some of them definitely see what's coming. They want to be in, you know, the big cannabis aspect of it. They probably produce the amounts that fit big cannabis needs. But then you have the other growers who are just totally anti-government, anti-regulation. If there's a tax on it, they're completely against it. It will eventually harm their bottom line because a lot of Southern Oregon growers ship their stuff out of state because they make a living off of that. Regulation and more laws and more attention for them is bad. You know, there's definitely tensions there. Will people get over it? Yeah, like, you know, the market is going to decide. And then the question is, do you want to play by the rules of the market or not? You do not have to play by the rules of the market. And you can still make money, but it will be harder and harder as these laws get passed across the country and the government gets involved in making the rules for your game. And if you do not follow the rules of the game of the government, you eventually lose. You know, it'll be unfortunate for the people that weren't willing to kind of change their model and really kind of accept the fact that government intervention in the cannabis industry is here to stay.
As the U.S. government gets more involved with the rules and regulations of the marijuana industry, established cannabis trade associations are being created. Amy Margolis spoke about her role in creating the Oregon Growers Association.
So we started the Oregon Growers Association as an offshoot of the PAC. The PAC is the political arm, right? It does what every other PAC does, which is donate money and fund lobbying efforts. The production piece of this is the foundation of the entire industry. And that growers, there are more growers than there are processors and dispensary owners and edible producers. That doesn't mean that they're more valuable necessarily. It just means there's a huge quantity of people providing cannabis. And so part of what the Oregon Growers Association is setting out to do is allow those people an opportunity to connect with each other. It's allowing them an opportunity to feel that this isn't an industry that needs to be continually underground. Our hope is to provide education, networking, outreach, the things that regular trade associations do for their members.
The tax model under Measure 91 is placed at the grower level. It will result in $35 an ounce on flower, $10 an ounce on shake and trim, and $5 for an immature plant. Measure 91 does not allow cities or counties to add any additional taxes. The transition into a government-regulated system necessitates a higher level of professionalism and marketing strategies. We talked to an Oregon grower who is developing a brand he hopes to integrate into the recreational market.
My name is Christian Koch, and I'm a medical marijuana grower. The brand is called Hi-Fi Farms. You know, the goal is to produce 100% organic, as sustainable as we possibly can. The pursuit is, you know, this should all be sun-grown in greenhouses with the finest organics and most high-tech systems we have today. And our goal is to get there, you know, sooner than later. But in the meantime, you know, the focus is right now is just to be as consistent with the quality and really try to start educating the consumers through social media. We're gonna start producing videos. So our brand is really focused on trying to educate people and then be the best, you know, and then by teaching them what is the best, ideally they choose us. I'm not interested in 500 products. I'd rather have one product that's so amazing that people just want it and feel good about buying it. And that's sort of the pursuit of Hi-Fi.
It is a green rush. There's absolutely lots of money to be made, but there's a lot of good things that can be done with that money and through cannabis in general, through, you know, medical aspects, through changing the social justice perceptions and laws, and, you know, removing the idea that nonviolent drug offenders are criminals and replacing it with, you know, if there are serious problems, they're health problems there, right? They're not criminal problems.
There's an irony about cannabis. I know there's all these stories and people get bent out with too much, but the right edible cannabis dose is perfect.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the money.
The war on marijuana is wasteful, and it hasn't worked. The time and resources available to law enforcement in Alaska is limited, and to waste any of that time or money on marijuana is using a hammer to go after a mosquito. It's just crazy. I spent a career in law enforcement in Alaska. I'm voting yes on ballot measure 2.
This communication was paid for by the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol. Top contributors are Marijuana Policy Project, Drug Policy Alliance, and Thomas Cody.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
The judge allows in evidence that Trayvon Martin did have marijuana in his system at the time he died. What difference, if any, does that make?
Because I've seen too many felonies, and I don't mean pot sales or growing pot like this guy up in Connecticut.
To me, it means that he is less likely to pick a fight with someone.
I mean, people on pot shoot each other.
Isn't it true that when you smoke pot, you just want to lay on the sofa and eat?
People on pot kill families, wipe out a whole family.
The common connotation, pot goes with lethargy, with the munchies, with wanting to eat, with being laid back, not with chasing somebody down, jumping out from behind bushes, beating them in the head till they're pulpy, and basically starting mortal combat. That's not what you typically equate with smoking a doobie.
I've got to be drinking booze, or I've got to be smoking, or I've got to be hot.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
When you have access to the document, can you write in the document that's not chat? Then when's the next break?
That's them playing me in on X-Ray FM today prior to my interview with Jefferson Smith on Thank You Democracy.
Next break, 1240.
This is recorded off my cell phone, so forgive the sound quality.
You're with an X-Ray. My name is Jefferson Smith. This is Thank You Democracy. Right now we've got Radical Russ Belville on, spokesperson on the pro side of Measure 91, the legalization of recreational marijuana here in Oregon. It is on the ballot right now. Ballots are about to go out. Voter registration deadline was last night. If you were checking out the X-Ray Facebook pages, or if you were looking around the various interwebs, in the studio we've got Russ. Russ, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jefferson. And let me clarify, I'm not an official spokesperson for the Measure 91 campaign.
You're too radical.
Yeah, I'm just a citizen with a very...
You're wearing a tie, though.
Well, you know...
You're wearing a coat and a tie.
Got to dress up for radio.
Jeans. Dress like our governor. So, Mr. Marquis, we had a chance to talk to.
Yes.
You have been... He said you've been filing complaint after complaint, investigation after investigation. How come, man?
Well, my investigation has uncovered that the county drug prevention staff and the county district attorneys have been using their office email, phones, and time to lobby for and to fundraise for a so-called educational tour that we have proven is clearly designed to be a political event against Measure 91.
Okay.
Whether you're pro-91 or anti-91, I think we're all pro-democracy and that our public money shouldn't be used to sway an election one way or the other.
So where I want to focus today's conversation is on the issue itself, as much as possible. But
absolutely.
With that plug, we should also look at the question on the other side. So $200,000 is resisting this. Some number of millions of dollars is promoting it. It is true that Soros and Lewis money is behind it significantly, as are people who are anticipating to be marijuana entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Should we care about that?
I think it's a big mistake and a desperate attempt at spin by Josh Marquis to try to portray this as David versus Goliath.
Set aside Josh Marquis. Have it just be a question from me.
Okay.
Should we care about who's paying for the measure?
I think what's interesting about who's paying for the measure is looking at the opposition side. Their complaint that they don't have a lot of money to me, belies the fact that nobody really wants to support this 40-year failed prohibition anymore. Of the $167,000 they have raised, 98.6% of that comes from the Oregon Sheriff's Association and the Oregon Narcotics Officers Association, who are desperately afraid of losing the easy collars of marijuana arrests and citations. There is over $1.4 million in asset forfeiture that went to the county and city police departments and county district attorneys. And the majority of people that are busted for that are busted for marijuana.
So you think, you genuinely think the Sheriff's Association on this issue is motivated by financial interest?
Partially. It's partially the financial interest they get from the federal burn grants, where they get money from the federal government specifically to go after drug offenders, and that is partially determined by how many arrests they are able to tally. So yes, that is part of it. But another part of it is that contraband marijuana is the key that unlocks the Fourth Amendment. All a cop needs to do when he has a suspicion, a hunch, but not probable cause, is claim that he smells marijuana. There's no way to dispute that in court. Even if you record the cop with your cell phone, you can't record smell. That allows them to bring the drug dog, which false alerts one out of five times they bring it outside the car, one out of three times they bring it inside the car. From there, they're able to pull people out of the car, search through their belongings, and if they find a little speck of marijuana, seize their car, seize their property, seize their cash. To the tune of $1.4 million net, $3.2 million gross that the state pulled in the 2013 asset forfeiture report.
So $3.2 million,
$1.4 million that went directly to cops and DAs.
All right. So let's say you're right that the $3 million in revenue from asset forfeiture linked to marijuana accused charges is a motivating factor for the sheriff's opposition to this measure. And, of course, it pales in comparison to the money just spent on the campaign to pass marijuana. If we care about financial interest on the side of the opposition, what do you say to somebody who would question, well, what about the, you know, like Josh Markey, for instance, he's not getting that money, right? Like, yeah, he cares about his organization's budget, he cares about, you know, but he doesn't get a bonus at the end of the year if they make more. He doesn't get to sell stock options. He doesn't get to build a brand and retire on it. But if I right now buy a marijuana farm, or if I were smarter and I bought it 3 years ago, or if I had a cool way to make a brownie, or if I started compiling storefronts that were sort of cleverly marketed, or if I anywhere in sort of the distribution chain distribution chain of a coming marijuana industry, I have a lot of money to be made. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to apologize for capitalism at this point, but what I'd point out is that marijuana already exists. Marijuana commerce already exists. And while people like to point out that marijuana is decriminalized, in order for someone to get that decriminalized marijuana, they either have to shop from a criminal, become a criminal by growing their own, cheat the medical marijuana program, or drive to Vancouver and buy it legally, and then become a federal trafficking criminal on their way back. This does, the Measure 91 just accepts the reality that marijuana is here, people are making a lot of money on it, but none of that money helps us, the citizens. That money helps Mexican drug cartels. That money helps the teenage dealer buy a new Xbox. That money helps criminals. And the reason so much money is pouring into this is because, A, people recognize that this is about freedom and liberty and about ending a 40-year failed prohibition that has given us such statistics as 80 to 91% of high school seniors in this country say they can find marijuana within a day, easily. And this has been going on since 1975. 44% of teenagers say they know personally the drug dealer in their school, and 91% of the time, marijuana is on the menu. Only 6% of the time are cigarettes on the menu. Only 1% of the time is alcohol on the menu. And it's not because underage kids don't smoke and drink. It's because there's no profit in being a tequila dealer. There's no profit in being a Marlboro dealer. Measure 91
kids got profit out. You can give a couple bucks to the guy whose shoulder you tap at the plant pantry, right? That guy can make a couple bucks. What got you involved?
It's personal self-interest. To be quite honest with you, I am a 46-year-old man. I'm self-employed. I don't even own a car. I took the bus to get here today. You're welcome. I don't have any children, and I like to use marijuana. I use it on a daily basis, and there's no reason I should be ticketed, fined, forced into rehab. When people say the decrim is no big deal, Josh Marquis likes to say it's just like a speeding ticket. I don't know any speeding ticket where the cops take your car after you've been speeding. But in cases of marijuana, they can. They can seize your car. They can seize your cash. A friend of mine recently got a marijuana ticket here in the state of Oregon. That ticket cost her $650, and she's a person of very low means. She couldn't come up with that $650. So in exchange, they said, well, you can go to these drug classes, which means she had to take time off of work. She had to find a ride to get there. And again, she wasn't harming anyone. She was an adult who was using cannabis.
So where I lean with you, and obviously the most powerful argument was motivating a lot of people to change the state of marijuana laws, are stories not only like the one that you mentioned, but a lot of others, including racial impacts, including what's happening in our prison system, and the frustration about law enforcement and the enforcement of drug laws and marijuana laws. But one of the reasons why I still think this is sort of an interesting issue, and why I want to get past, if it's possible to get past some of our prepared talking points, which because we all have so many, you never get done with them, so it's hard to get past them, but to look into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, it's really easy for me to say, yeah, the state of, I know too many stories of people whose lives have been ruined because of what seemed to me like a dumb reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But now I look into the future, and not asking you to apologize for capitalism, but asking us to think about this policy proposal
mm-hmm.
in the context of our current economic system.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the marijuana industry, maybe we can each do this. Let's each paint the picture of what we think the marijuana industry, you tell yours, and then I'll say if I think mine's any different, what you think the marijuana industry looks like 12 years from now, assuming this gets passed.
This is pretty easy to do because we have plenty of track record from around the world in various levels of marijuana decriminalization and legalization. We have Dutch coffee shops. For the past 30 years, we find half the use of marijuana in Holland, both among teens and adults, than we have here. We've had complete drug decriminalization in Portugal. All drugs are legal to possess and use. They've had a reduction in their HIV deaths, and their injection addicts are growing older and fewer. And in the case of Colorado and Washington, we can see that the sky hasn't fallen yet. Colorado's created some 18,000 jobs. Tourism's up 6%. And as far as Measure 91 and what it will allow, it allows what Colorado and Washington allows. They're trying to give you this scare that, oh my God, it allows 8 ounces. No, it allows 1 ounce outside the house, 8 ounces in the home, which is less.
An ounce is kind of a lot.
Not really. An ounce is pretty comparable to maybe a pack of cigarettes.
How long does it take an average user to smoke an ounce?
Oh, I don't know. It depends. An average user might use that within a week.
A friend of mine, when I was growing up, his dad was a major marijuana dealer in Oregon, and he ended up in very dire straits. But his allowance was an ounce a week. That's what he got. He got an ounce of marijuana a week. He mm-hmm. could sell it, and that's how he could like live his lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what he could sell it for, but it was a bigger
probably
allowance.
Around 300 an ounce.
Yeah,
probably.
It was kind of a lot. Mm-hmm. It was a lot bigger allowance.
Right. Yeah, and that happened under Prohibition, and all the money that was made was never taxed and never helped the public.
So here's why I'm not sure it's going to be like Amsterdam.
Okay.
I don't know enough. I need to rely on people like you and others to help me understand better sort of the intricacies of how their regulatory structure will differ from our proposed regulatory structure mm-hmm. in the various states and then with a federal overlay.
Okay.
Right? So some of this I'm traveling with a bit of ignorance.
Okay.
But, so I've been to Amsterdam. I smoke weed, but I didn't smoke weed in Amsterdam. I haven't for a long time. But I thought about it, if it passes, what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a casino in Amsterdam, and it wasn't very good. Right, it was kind of dingy and not. Yeah. I just haven't figured out. If you go to Las Vegas casino,
mm-hmm.
they pump oxygen in it.
Yep.
Right. You don't know where the exit door is. Right.
Distracting patterns on the carpet. No
the,
clocks.
The patterns of the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Are
yep.
dazzling.
Yep.
Okay. Like we figured it out. We
mm-hmm.
figured out how to do casinos
mm-hmm.
in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
My impression is we're better than the Dutch. I don't mean it every single way, but in figuring out how to like market a product, including a product that has
chemical impact. Some mm-hmm. might say addictive, some might not say addictive, but nonetheless,
sure,
impact you chemically. Like, we figured that out. Like, mm-hmm. we figured, you know, our tobacco company kicked the tar, literally, out of, you know, other tobacco companies.
Yeah.
Our liquor companies tend to kick the tar in marketing mm-hmm. over other liquor companies. The reason I don't think it's going to be like the Dutch is we're just going to be better. Like, we're going to figure out Joe Campbell for weed, mm-hmm. right? We're going to figure out modulating THC levels so it gets people to, you know, they used to be able to get by with,
yeah.
you know, an ounce a month, but
yeah.
then it's going to take them, you know, an ounce a week. Keep painting a picture for me in the future.
All right. Let me explain what's happened in Colorado and Washington already. Both states have already accepted advertising restrictions more strict on their product than are currently allowed for alcohol and tobacco. We learned the lesson of Big Tobacco. We learned the lesson of Joe Camel. That's not going to appear with marijuana.
Because it's still in all the movies. Like,
Joe Camel was killed in 1998. No teenager alive today has ever seen Joe Camel.
No, I don't think Joe Camel's in movies, but there's still, like, tobacco marketing is still brilliant. It's just not out on TV.
Sure, right. Sure. But
maybe that doesn't matter. Like, maybe we don't care very much. But I do understand what we're getting into.
I understand people have this fear of over-commercialization and over-marketing and trying to entice kids and trying to modulate THC levels and such like that. That happens now. That happens under prohibition. Right now, the marketing of marijuana is that it's this cool, underground, sneaky, subversive thing, and that's what attracts kids to it. We have seen the rate of teenage marijuana use in Colorado drop from 24.8% monthly to 20% monthly from 2009 to 2013. That's the Colorado Healthy Kids Survey. We've already seen these rates go down as marijuana.
That is interesting.
No big deal.
I can't vouch for your number, but that is interesting.
Colorado Healthy Kids Survey. Look it up. 2009 to 2013.
Who funded the survey?
Yeah, what's that?
Who funded the survey?
It's the state of Colorado.
So what's your prediction of marijuana use in Oregon if this measure passes? Options are reduces slightly because it's not as cool anymore. Increases slightly. Stay the same because nobody cares about what the law is. Option three increases slightly. Option four increases significantly.
I've got an option 3.5, which is a small spike after it's legalized by baby boomers who went, oh, wow, I smoked back in the day. Let me try it again.
Yeah.
But an overall decrease over time.
Really?
Yes. I predict an overall decrease
right.
over
so
time. Right now,
that, yeah, okay.
Right now, all of the kids who want marijuana can get it.
Yeah.
Any young person that wants marijuana, either high school or college age, has a guy.
Yeah.
They've got a hookup. It's middle-aged guys like me that don't have a guy.
Yeah.
So we have seen since 2002, from 2002 to 2012, this is a national survey on drug use and health. In 2002, there were two 12 to 17-year-old marijuana smokers monthly for every one over 50. Now, those same two teen marijuana smokers exist. In fact, the numbers went down 200,000. But now there are three seniors for every two teenagers. The number of seniors, people 50 and over, who've used marijuana has gone from 0.9 million to over 3 million in just this decade. And that's largely attributable to the medical marijuana laws that are passed throughout the states that finally get some safe access for older people that want to use cannabis. We also see in the medical marijuana states, in Colorado, their average marijuana use age is 41, in California it's 32, nationwide it's 27. So it seems to me regulation pushes the average age toward the older person, and especially when older folks start to realize that cannabis can replace the Tylenol, the Viagra, the Chardonnay, the Ambien, the Xanax, the Prozac that they're popping like candy, there's definitely going to be more interest among older people for marijuana than younger people. The use by younger people will fall off because it's going to be harder for them to get. Kids, again, Colorado Healthy Kids Survey shows that the kids' ease of access, their perception of how easy it is to get marijuana, is lower in Colorado than it is on the national average and has been declining
because
since regulations have kicked in.
Because it's been easier. It's easier for them to shoulder tap, you know, somebody on the black market than it is to go to a store where they're carding.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
hold on. So helpful. And by the way, listeners, thanks for listening. You're listening to X-Ray FM. My name is Jefferson Smith. We're talking to Radical Russ Belville around legalization of marijuana, Measure 91 on the ballot right now. Ballot's coming out like
today,
just like right now. And the voter registration deadline just passed, but you can still update your registration if you go online to the Secretary of State's website. Just Google "register to vote online" and like it'll be within five links after like the first three or probably marketing campaign of some sort. So here's the
So I don't know what my prediction is, right? And my prediction is actually impacting on my view. I'm struggling. I don't like to admit this. I don't know what I think about this. I don't know if I'm a yes or a no. That very rarely happens to me on a ballot issue. I don't know if I'm a yes or no. It's very hard.
I would ask yourself and ask your listeners to ask themselves this question. When you vote no, you are saying, you know what? The way we're doing it now is just fine.
No.
Arresting 3,000 people a year, kicking 10,000
people. That's where I get off the bus. Because that's obviously not my view. It's not my view. In fact, there were a couple of colleagues of mine in the legislature who put forward a proposal, the best proposal that I remember seeing, which is basically ratcheted up the regulation a lot, right? Like it was more state controlled. It was a Republican and a Democrat, but it was pretty much socialized weed, right?
Yeah, kind of like state-run liquor store thing.
And yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And the but even more sort of more highly regulated. And I was like, oh yeah, that seems right. And this one, I don't know, because yeah, I do think the current state of affairs is dumb, but I don't think those are the options, because if this goes down, they're coming back with something else, right? Like, we're going to be having this conversation.
Oh, it's inevitable, yeah.
Unless the conversation is resolved.
But 26,000 people will be ticketed and cited.
My prediction is different than yours. But I don't have any real, I don't have a computer program where I can input the data and run scenarios to see if I'm right, right? Only time will tell. Mm-hmm. But my prediction is different than yours. My prediction is this. That you've changed my prediction ever so slightly, because I do think probably that you might be right, that for young kids, that might get normalized a little bit, right? It might be a little bit harder. The regulation might improve. The overall marijuana use, my guess is, will have an initial spike, and then over time will increase. And it'll increase in the number of people who use, and because of the impacts of marketing, right? But I could be wrong. But that's my prediction, is it will increase.
Well, let's say you're right and it does increase.
Maybe that doesn't matter.
The question isn't whether it increases, it's whether harm increases.
Yeah,
if more people are smoking weed and exchanging that for using prescription drugs or alcohol, I think that's a net benefit on our road safety, in our public health costs, and so forth. If people, and I know plenty of people who kick cigarettes because they've used cannabis to get over it. If that happens and they end up using more cannabis and less tobacco, I think that's a great thing too. It's important to remember that this is not some new abstract concept. We are following in the footsteps of Washington and Colorado and have learned the best.
But yeah, but what do you say? But now you've got the voters of Colorado. Mm-hmm. So the same thing. It's going to be the same thing with GMOs, right? I'm concerned the GMO labeling is going to go down because Monsanto is coming in, or because Big Pharma, Big Ag is coming in with lots of money to beat,
sure,
right? So there'll be this brief window of time where Oregonians are convinced that they shouldn't want GMOs to be labeled. But right after the election, they're going to think that GMOs should be labeled. What we're seeing in Colorado is now a bunch of Coloradans, including some people who presumably voted in favor of legalization, are now saying, oops, wish we wouldn't have, including the governor of Colorado. Maybe we don't care about that. Do we care about that? Why do they have buyer's remorse in Colorado?
I wouldn't say that they have buyer's remorse in Colorado at all. The most recent polls that have come out on this have still shown majority support. While it has fallen from 55% to 50%, that's just part of working out the kinks in the regulations. And one of the advantages we'll have is that, unlike Colorado, we're not passing a constitutional amendment. If there's a problem with this, if we discover something needs to be fixed,
what about the driving thing?
What about
So the challenge, you know, what the DUI look like for weed? Does it matter?
You'd have to ask Josh Marquis. He convicted a kid for DUI without even believing he had marijuana in his system.
But we're not voting on Josh Marquis.
Okay.
We're voting on whether this ballot initiative is correctly.
Marijuana legalization does not invent cars and marijuana. Marijuana DUI is already illegal, and plenty of people get busted for it already.
Do we know how to test for it?
There's no accurate scientific way to test for marijuana because of the physiology of how it works in our bodies. I think the best way to test people for whether they're impaired on the road is to test whether they're impaired on the road. Do the nose to the finger. Walk the straight line.
Radical Russ, I want to say thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Jefferson.
It was good to talk to you. You're a very articulate radical man.
I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right, so that's my appearance on Thank You Democracy with Jefferson Smith. They're on X-Ray FM. That's 107.1 FM here in Portland. Also find them online at xray.fm. They've got an app you can download if you want to get the podcast of this episode, where you could hear Josh Marquis before me and Kevin Sabet after me. And I didn't get to hear Kevin, but I did get to hear Josh. And I think I won that one. Anyway, gotta go. Toker Talk Radio's next. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.